Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT. It is the Brett Winterbull Show, 704-570-1110. As people have been talking, high-speed chase, South Charlotte ending in a crash, driver in custody. You have to understand something when you look at this sort of scenario. Having lived for a lot of years in Southern California where car chases are unbelievably common, you just don't know when it's going to happen, and you don't know how it's going to happen, and you don't know how it's going to end. You don't know if the person who's driving is on drugs, whacked out of their mind. You don't know if they've got a desire to become suicide by cop. You don't know what's going on out there when it comes to somebody who gets involved in a police chase. And yet, with the police chases being as random as they can be, right? You've got people that decide they're going to carjack, they're going to go on a run, cops chasing them, whatever. Do they have a weapon? You don't know. Do they want to end peacefully? You don't know. Do they want to give up? Do they want suicide by cop, as I mentioned? You don't know any of those factors. But it's interesting because as many as the car chases are that you have, that you see out there, you never see people coming out and saying, well, we've got to have a stricter road control. We've got to have stricter car control. We've got to have stricter this, or that. And I'm not trying to turn this into a discussion about gun control per se, but at the end of the day, the car chase is the fault of the criminal who needs to be locked up for a really long time. And by a really long time, I'm not talking about you social justice types that want to give them 6 months, 8 months, give them career training, love them, kiss them, hug them, ask them why their childhood was no good. I'm talking about you cause a chase like this with this many crashes and this much potential death and destruction. Right there, 45 years. 45 years, don't care, don't want to know if you're on drugs, don't want to know what it is that's motivating you, don't want to know about your crappy childhood, you didn't get Christmas presents, any of that sort of stuff. You're a grown adult human being. You get behind the wheel of a car, you lead a police chase, you're this close to wiping people out. 45 years right there. Absolutely no parole. And this is what's got to happen, folks. We've tried it your way, and you know who I mean when I say your way. The defund the police lobby, the people who don't want to hold people to account, none of that stuff. Look, the idiots that went into the Capitol in Washington, D.C. on January the 6th, the idiots that did that are going to do more time than this person. I guarantee it. I guarantee it. The trespassers will do harder time. They've been locked up since January the 6th of 2021. They've been in solitary confinement. You know, it's unbelievable. So until I get some measure of understanding from you progressive, liberal, defund the police, hug a thug types, then you know what? I'm not going to listen to you at all on policy. I'm not going to listen to you at all on policy. Your loved one could have been driving home from work, could have been driving to work, could have been driving from school, could have been driving from an errand, and your loved one could get wiped out by this enemy of society, right? And you're going to have some social justice lawyer, because they're all over the place now, in the DA's office, in the U.S. Attorney's office, in the defense attorney's, all of these places. And the folks that lobby for hug a thug, oh, he's a thug, hug him. He went on a high-speed chase through the streets of Charlotte or any other community. We have to understand him and love him. We have to understand that he didn't get the Christmas presents he wanted. Somebody judged him based on some characteristic he may or may not have. I'm here to give voice to normal people. You know what a normal person is? A person that gets up every day, takes care of their kids, feeds their family, goes to work, doesn't conduct a single stick-up, a carjacking, an attempted murder, a rape, the sale of fentanyl. Normal people don't do those things. Society is divided between two groups of people, normal people and abnormal people. Now, I don't know which group you're a part of, but I'm willing to believe overall when you watch shenanigans like you just watched on the streets of Charlotte, that a whole lot of you are suddenly born again normal people going, what the heck is this? Why is this happening? What's with the lawlessness? When did the lawlessness begin? Was it 2 years ago? Was it more like 10 years ago? Was it perhaps, oh, let's say 14 years ago, when the hug-a-thug ethic took a very strong root in American society? I don't know what spawned it, but I do know this. It's rooted in the original notion that on 9/11, we did something to deserve it. You doubt me? Rashida Tlaib and Ilhan Omar, AOC and Bowman out of New York State. These are all the folks that are running around agitating to make your streets less safe. But they live under protection. They have armed guards. They have secure buildings. And you know what a lot of the folks have in Washington, D.C. and in Raleigh? Drivers. Drivers. So you tell me, watching what you watched on the streets today in Charlotte, you tell me that you want your 16-year-old daughter driving in the midst of that, trying to go to Burger King to take a job. Or you want your wife and kid, or husband and kid, spouse and kid, thruple and kid, I don't care what the iteration is. You want them to be caught up in that when somebody has no respect for the law. You got to make a decision, and you got to make a decision for the sake of civilization. Do you want to be with the normal people, or do you want to be with the abnormal people? Because the reality is we got a bumper crop of criminality, disrespect, and abnormal behavior. And as far as I'm concerned, as a taxpaying American citizen living in 2022 who doesn't want to see any more death and destruction on the streets of our country, I'm going to stick with the normal people. If you need me, I'll be right here. Seriously. 704-570-1110. News Talk 1110-993-WBT. Man, Boomer Von Cannon.
Yeah, man.
When you're calling a chase like that, whoa. I mean, my God, you got to put on your auctioneer hat
you really do.
To be all able to talk so fast.
With all the turns and then the U-turns and the lefts and the rights and all through the neighborhoods, it was wild, man.
I mean, it's unbelievable.
It was wild. It covered a whole lot of South Charlotte. I mean, from Ballantyne on up to Dilworth. It covered a lot of territory.
All right, are we getting back to normal? News Talk 1110-993-WBT. 704-570-1110. It is the Brett Winterbull Show. The President of the United States is speaking in the land today in Cleveland, commenting on the police killing of Jaylen Walker, also commenting on the final piece of his American Rescue Plan. I don't know if you knew about this or not. He's got another phase of the American Rescue Plan. But I want to grab this call quickly from Larry, who has been patiently holding on. Larry, welcome to the program. What's on your mind, sir?
How you doing, Mr. Winterbull?
I'm well, thanks.
All right. I want to comment on everything that's going on, man. Mm-hmm. And it's not that far-fetched, man. Everything wrong with America, I don't want to say it like this, but, mm-hmm. I mean, the white man created all this stuff, man. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? So mm-hmm. it is what it is. Let it flourish or blow up the world, man. That's
now you're going to hang up, and that's not cool, Larry.
I'm not hanging up, Mr. Winterbull. I'm okay. Listening to you.
Okay, here's the thing. When you say the white man built it all or did it all,
we did a lot. But we didn't have patents for it, so you took everything. You took everything.
Okay. So I'm a Larry. So I'm a you people then. Okay, I didn't know I was a you people. This is good. Okay, so this gives me a bar at which I can measure this conversation. Since I'm a you people, I have all these patents, which I don't have any patents. Okay, Larry.
No, you don't have any patents because you don't.
Because I don't want.
You don't know anything.
Oh, Larry. Larry, you're amazing. Hold on. This is good. This is good. Don't go anywhere. Larry, ladies and gentlemen.
You're not the educated that you think.
Oh, I'm not. Yeah, that's true. You're right. Oh, you're right. Larry, you're right. Hold on. Ladies and gentlemen, now approaching the stage, Larry, the insult comic at 3:22 in the afternoon. Okay, everybody, welcome, Larry. Good to have you here, Larry. Oh, this is so great. Awesome. All right, Larry, go ahead. Entertain us. Give me something entertaining, because you haven't been interesting yet.
Entertain me.
You haven't been interesting yet.
Entertain me.
Entertain you. My friend, listen, here's the deal. Here's the deal. You woke up in America today. You were, I'm guessing, born in America. You know what? That's the penultimate opportunity in the world today. That's what it is, that you get to wake up in America, that you were born in America, that you have the land of opportunity where literally 2 million people.
How do you know I was born in America?
Okay, where were you born?
How do you know I was born in America? I was born in France.
You were born in France. Perfect. You emigrated to the United States of America because of the opportunity, like the 2 million people who have come across the southern border from Mexico. Here is the thing. It is the land of opportunity. You can literally, Larry, get up every single day and pursue your dream. That is better. That is better than the majority of the people on this planet. Why are you so angry?
I'm not angry. I just want you to know, man, it's not the people's fault, man.
What people? I'm not blaming the people.
It's not the people's fault,
man. I'm blaming criminals who are leading high-speed chases through the streets of Charlotte. That's why you called, or you were just calling to look for a fight. I don't really understand what the motivation on the call was, but I'm trying to help you see.
You can't beat me.
I'm not fighting you. I don't fight.
I won't fight with you.
Larry, see, this is the problem. I'm going to show you how to be a good caller, okay? This is how you're a good caller. Ready? Hey, Brett, you know you were talking about all the crime in the streets. It's got me concerned. But what else has me concerned is I don't think there's equal opportunity for people in the United States. And then I say to you, well, what kind of opportunity do you
but
think
you
that
people...
But
you know it's not. So why would I say that? You know it's not.
I know what's not.
You know it's not equal.
You see? This is the problem, Larry. This is
the
problem.
Personally.
This, ladies and gentlemen, go ahead and flag this tape, TJ, because this is going to be used
you know
in the...
personally, though.
Well, hold on a second. Hold on. I'm directing my director for something here, okay? Save this because this is going to be for the workshop that we're going to do for caller clinics. Okay, here's the deal. You're calling looking for a fight rather than giving
me... Why would I fight you, man?
You just told me you were fighting me. Okay, I'm just taking you...
I didn't tell you that, man. That's just like...
Here's what I'm saying, Larry.
When somebody called the last time when I asked for... You said, oh, the people are going to go crazy because there's no chicken. It was you, yeah. You know, yeah. I mean,
that's not me, Larry. You got,
yeah.
Look at this guy. This guy is so nervous.
I'm not fighting.
Larry is so nervous. You can hear it in his voice because he's trying to throw nonsense at me because he doesn't want to have an argument. He wants to have a fight. And the answer, Larry, is not to have a fight. It's not to have a fight. It's to have a conversation, Larry. It's to have a discussion about the ways we approach things. Now, I wanted to use you and your call as an example for the folks who listen to this program. I'm not going to put up with nonsense on the program. If you want to call with a legitimate point, we can talk about a legitimate issue. If you want to cast aspersions or make things up, I'm going to point you to the Biden-Harris administration because they need a lot of help with the messaging that they're doing in Washington, D.C. The fact of the matter is, the people listening to this radio program right now, Larry, saw you for what you were. And you're somebody who's incredibly frustrated, who is angry for whatever reason. I don't know what the cause is, but I do know that you live in the United States of America. France or not, you're living in the United States of America, the greatest country in the history of mankind, and you have an opportunity to pursue any dream you wish. Any dream you wish. And so I'm gonna give you a little bit of help here, Larry. What you can now do is take the call that you just made, think about it, and come back at another point with actual substantive arguments. Substantive arguments based upon facts and based upon the realities of life in America today. See, I was never going to lose my cool or temper. That's not how I roll. I understand that being behind the microphone, I have control of the microphone. I can have a conversation with anybody for as long as I want to have that conversation until it gets boring and tedious. And for the good of my audience, I have to respect the value of their time and their patience. So you're more than welcome to call back any other time, but I would hope you'd bring your A game. In America, The A game gets rewarded, Larry. 704-570-1110. 704-570-1110. News Talk 1110 at 99.3 WBT. I'm Brett Winterbull. This is Anna Erickson with the update. News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT. It's the Brett Winterbull Show. Good to be here with you. Happy to be here with you. I want to take this call from Paul, who's been patiently holding on. Paul, welcome to the program. Appreciate you being there.
Yes, sir. I just wanted to make a comment
sure. On
what your station did.
Yes, sir.
In this high-speed chase, it was so dangerous.
Yep.
And it gave people a lot of time to just pull over and let them go.
Yes. Yes, that's what's important about communicating breaking news information to the audience, because you might be driving around or a loved one of yours may be driving around, and we want to certainly make sure people are safe. So that's one of the great hallmarks of WBT and the programming here.
Yeah, and call them and tell them to pull over for 10 minutes or whatever.
That's
so it.
It
all passes.
That's right. It's exactly right. Good stuff, Paul. I appreciate you being out there. I mean, these are such unpredictable times. Here's the problem with a high-speed chase like this. You can have somebody flying down the road and somebody just sees them at the last moment and they make the wrong decision. And now all of a sudden you've got a bunch of other vehicles involved in this at the same time, which is really just a horrible, horrible thing all the way around. Stan, welcome to the program. How are you, Stan?
I'm fine. How are you? I wanted to respond to your caller, Larry, and I want to see if I can tell you why we have people like that in this country.
Okay, go ahead.
I just heard a news article just recently. And this news article was not designed to be informative.
Mm-hmm.
This news article said this, that 72% of white people own homes in this country.
Okay.
That only 42% of black people own homes in this country.
Okay.
But they got the definition of homeowner wrong. See, if you have a mortgage, you're not a homeowner. If the bank can take it next month,
yeah,
because you get sick or lose your job, you don't own it.
Okay.
So that's the process by which they're making us all indentured servants. So while they're doing that, they want us arguing with each other. That's why they will not give up on CRT in the public school system.
Well,
we don't see what they're doing if we can blame it on our neighbor.
Well, here's the thing, right? Here's the thing. We have opportunities to talk about any number of different topics out there. They're the topics that matter to the people that listen to the station. The economy, opportunity, safety, the cost of living in America in 2022. Look, does America have a past history of sins and maybe even a current history of sins? Of course. Nobody is sinless. Only one person ever walked the earth that was. And here's the thing that I would say about this to anybody who wants to have a conversation. The door is open. The phone number is there. It's not a secret. People can call in. They can agree. They can disagree. But at the end of the day, I'm not in the business of like starting fights with people. I'm not in the business, even if they're wrong, at being nasty about it. I try to have a discussion in the same way that if I was sitting at a bar somewhere or at a restaurant somewhere and we were just talking about things, or I was drinking coffee, you were drinking coffee. We're just having a conversation. I'm not the president of the United States. I'm not a congressperson. I'm not a senator, but I also understand that those people, meaning the elites in government, the elites in business, they operate on a totally different frequency than you and I do. Now, as to the point you were just raising, Stan, you are correct. There are people who are either A, house poor, or B, carrying around a huge debt load that runs a risk of them facing potential disaster should the economy continue in the direction it's now going. I think of myself as a voice of the people out here across the spectrum, across the politics, across the divide, and my desire is to see that people succeed. See, I'm not a zero-sum guy, Stan. I'm not somebody who says that guy got rich, so that means that other guy got poor. Both can get rich. It's possible. You just have to come up with a better idea or a product that people are going to remunerate you for. And it's really that simple. Us going at each other, as you said, us going at each other, regardless of the divide and whatever that is really only going to empower the scoundrels in Raleigh and D.C. And that's the issue.
Just concentrate on what you can do to make yourself better. And even in this environment,
correct,
you can still succeed in this country.
Correct.
The problem is not the guy next door look in the mirror and be the best you can be, and if you do that, you'll be just fine.
That's what you got to do. Great stuff, Stan. See, Stan's got it going on. He understands what's going on out there in the country right now. All right? It is not to your benefit to look to politicians, regardless of party, as saviors. They're not. They're people who shook enough hands and shook enough people down in some cases to get to the positions they currently are. Like, can you imagine for a moment what Mitch McConnell would be doing if politics didn't exist, or Nancy Pelosi would be doing if politics didn't exist? I don't know what line of work Mitch McConnell or Nancy Pelosi would be in. I don't know what line of work Kevin McCarthy or Chuck Schumer would be, what line of work they'd be in. Kamala Harris, no idea. Joe Biden, no idea at all. I don't know what they would be doing. But I have to believe that these people would find ways all across the spectrum here, in terms of the political body politic, they would be finding ways to somehow benefit themselves, their families, their patrons, at the expense of other people. Meaning, they might be like a slip and fall lawyer. They might be the sort of person that helps you do something maybe unsavory in the world of business or politics or something. Oh, wait, no, I said politics not existing. So they would be involved in some unsavory work. We have this odd belief in our country about these politicians that somehow when you become elevated to the presidency of the United States, you suddenly are imbued with all the wisdom of the world. You're really not. You're really not that person. You don't have all that wisdom. You have more exposure. Okay, when you're vice president, you don't have more wisdom than you were a congressperson or a senator. You've just got more exposure to the rest of the world. And so the idea that any of these politicians, regardless of party, even if it's the people you love most dearly in the world of politics, the idea that they're going to be able to come and save you personally or your family or your business or your house or your brother-in-law or whatever it's going to be. Very unlikely. It's very unlikely. I just sit back and I look at all this and I say, we talk about things that are interesting. We talk about the things that matter, the things that are interesting. We talk about the issues that I think are of importance to the folks that are out there listening in this audience. And at the end of the day, ladies and gentlemen, that's really what we have. We have each other here in Charlotte and beyond. As neighbors, as friends, as acquaintances, as folks who shop in the same places and go to the same houses of worship, okay? This is ultimately what we have. And as long as we're at each other's throats, the powerful get away with it. They're not held to account. They're not held to account. And that's what you have to remember. Because at the end of the day, it's about you and your family. And at the end of the day, it's about you and your community. What goes and comes from Washington, D.C., it's transitory, like the inflation. 704-570-1110, News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT. Boomer Von Cannon, you know, so I'm driving in today.
Uh-huh.
And I'm listening to your traffic reports, because I always do.
Thank you.
And you know what song came on the radio?
Uh-huh.
Jump Into the Fire. And I thought, if I got out of my car... with like the real feel of like 102 or whatever it is outside, I would fit that song perfectly.
Yes, it would be. It was made for you, man. It was made for you. Fuego.
How we doing on there? We're going hot and spicy out there on the road. News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT, Brett Winterbull Show. All right, coming up in the beginning of this next hour, I have special commentary on the murderer. I call him the mutant. From Highland Park, Illinois, who was responsible for the murder and the destruction of so many lives on Independence Day. And I have some thoughts that I want to share with you about not just his culpability, but the parents and, of course, the breakdown in the system that enabled him to do what he did. So stick around for that. But in the meantime, I want to talk to Corey. Hey, Corey, welcome to the show. How are you?
Hey, Brett. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, thanks.
I appreciate you keeping your calm with the caller the other day. It's hot enough out here without adding that to it.
Yeah. Well, these things are going to happen from time to time, but, you know, we continue the conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. So this will probably tag on to it. One of the things I wanted to discuss with you was the issue of the red flag laws.
Sure.
I don't believe that most people are opposed to red flag laws. However, there is a fundamental flaw in the way that they're currently constructed. That flaw is that you have to prove your innocence to the court. I'm not sure if you're aware of it, but when a red flag hold is issued, you know, someone goes in, they tell the court, you know, we need this, and the court issues, okay, a seizure order.
Right.
Then you have to come back in 2 weeks and prove to the court who just issued that order that you are, in fact, sane. Whereas in any other legal situation, that you have to come back in, or the state has to prove your guilt. So if it was flipped, I think you'd have a lot more people in favor of it.
Do you know people who have been subjected to the red flag laws in that regard?
I do not know personally, but a simple Google search does bring those up on some occasion.
Yeah.
I do, however, know a lot of family court attorneys, and they can tell you, you know, any family court lawyer who says, well, a restraining order has never been falsely issued, either just started or is lying through his teeth.
Well, that look, I mean, of course, you could get a restraining order. There are people who are going to be motivated by whatever reason to defraud the court, right, with a restraining order that's not legitimate or something like that. But but here's the thing, though. This then, as far as I'm concerned, would certainly be a ripe case to go up to the Supreme Court in either this session or the following session that's going to be coming, because if, in fact, you're forcing a defendant, because essentially you're a defendant if you're getting a red flag law thrown your way, it's going to put an undue burden to prove innocence rather than guilt. And so I think this sounds like it would be something that would be going right to the Supreme Court.
Absolutely correct. And I believe if they haven't already been challenged, I'm pretty sure in California or in Colorado they are about to be.
Yeah. So it'll be good to watch that and see what ends up happening with the outcomes of those cases.
Yeah. I'm afraid I don't have the information right here.
That's okay. I'll look it up. Corey, I appreciate you jumping in, and call back anytime, my friend.
Okay. Thank you very much. Oh, and one more thing, sir, real quick.
Sure. Go ahead.
Your caller yesterday who was talking about the, you know, three people to verify that you're okay to buy a firearm. And
yes.
That we don't have a permit check.
Yeah.
North Carolina actually does still have the permit check.
They do. So they call three people?
Yeah. No, not three people, but there is a permit check to buy a handgun in the state of North Carolina.
Okay.
It's like NICS Plus.
Wow. That's good to know. I appreciate the information, Corey. That's certainly something to unpack and to look at. And it's actually going to be a perfect segue into looking at what it was that took place here a couple of days ago. I'm going to take Jaquan next. Hey, Jaquan, welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing, man?
I'm well, thanks.
All right, I just want to speak on the red flag law, man. I'm not no criminal.
Mm-hmm.
I've never got in trouble. I'm not no felon.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, but I tried to go get a handgun, that man, a red flag. And I don't know why. Is it a double standard or what? What's going on?
So what? Where did this take place?
Charlotte, North Carolina.
And which, do you know what store were you trying to buy a gun at where they red flagged you? Hmm?
Hyatt.
Okay, Hyatt. So did you ask them what it said on the report, or did they say they couldn't?
They couldn't give me no explanation.
Yeah, so that means I would definitely talk to an attorney. I think you need to get a lawyer to preserve your rights.
I don't want to take it that far, man. And I have never had a criminal background, man.
Yeah, you're being accused of something that you didn't do. So you absolutely should. I would get a lawyer. I think you got to get a lawyer to do this.
I brung my records to the highest.
Yeah.
And they still denied.
Yeah, I would say.
I'm just want to know, is it a double standard?
I don't know what you're accused of. I don't know what they're saying you did.
Nothing.
I would want my name.
I'm not accused of anything. They said my record was clear. but I had a red flag.
That doesn't. So who
yeah,
who?
Yeah, yeah. So yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
so who
it's
put
unbelievable
it? Who
to
put?
Me, and I know it's unbelievable to you.
Who put a red flag on you?
I don't know.
That's why you want to have a lawyer. See, that's exactly why you want to have a lawyer to go out there and challenge that. See, I'm not an attorney, but if I had a red flag on me, I would go and get an attorney to go and find out what it is that's going on here. Look, you have a right to keep and bear arms. I have a right to keep and bear arms. That much is clear. And if the system's not working, well, it's up to us to make sure that system functions the way it's supposed to function. Now, that's a beautiful segue for what it is that I've got coming up here next. Because when I look at this individual who murdered all these people, and I look at the destruction and death that was wrought, and I wonder to myself, was this character putting on an act to appear to be competent? That's the question. That's the question. But for anybody who's calling about the red flag laws, we could certainly talk about them on the issue itself. But I'm not a lawyer. And if you've got any kind of an issue, my advice to everybody who's got an issue with that on a personal level is to go get yourself a lawyer and get squared away and make sure you preserve your rights. News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT. And I am Brett Winterble. It is the Brett Winterble Show. News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT. Great to be here with you on this day. And I'm continuing to ponder this psychopathic, vicious, nasty, demonic mutant killer from Highland Park, Illinois. And the story that continues to come out about this guy is absolutely shocking on so many levels. But the thing that keeps hanging up with me, sticking with me in my mind, is how it is that this freak, this mutant, could possibly keep his act together during the period of time in which he's trying to purchase a firearm. Now, I've purchased firearms. I've purchased a number of firearms. And I have seen, while being in a gun store, people getting run for a NICS check, people looking to purchase a firearm. And I have seen people turned down, and it wasn't because of the NICS check. They were turned down because they said something that made the gun store owner uneasy. They made some kind of a remark or a crack or something like that that just was really out of place and felt a little freaky for the gun store owner. In fact, there was a gun store that I frequented back in SoCal that was owned by a former cop. And that cop had in his gun store a dog, a German Shepherd. And I know for a fact, because I was a witness to this, that on at least one occasion, if the dog didn't like the guy who was buying the gun, he canceled the transaction. Now, you can sit back and you can say, well, it's terrible. No, you got a right to keep and bear arms, but you don't have a right to necessarily buy a gun from a particular person, especially if they feel like their spidey senses are going up on their neck and they don't know what's going to end up happening. So when I look at this guy, I look at the videos, I hear the stories of the kind of stuff that he was involved in, knives, swords, threatening to kill himself, threatening to kill everybody in the family, all that kind of stuff. And I sit back and I say, wait a minute, hold on a second. Hold on. Is this guy some kind of a criminal genius? I mean, I always think about like Charlie Manson. You know, Charlie Manson's pretty much like central casting a psychopath, right? I mean, you see Charlie Manson and you go, that's a guy I wouldn't sell a gun to. That's a guy who just kind of comes off as, and I'm talking pre-swastika on the forehead here, folks. But I look at this and I say, wait, so is this guy able to, like a diabolical genius, keep his act together while it is that he's trying to conduct the sale of the firearm. His father was alleged to have been a party to the sale. Either he vouched for him or co-signed or whatever they do in Illinois. I don't frankly understand what goes on in Illinois. But the father was obviously aware of the weapon. Does the father not see the guy and be like, you know, you're like the last person that I want to have a gun. Sorry, not vouching for you. Not helping you get this firearm. We had the visit from the cops a couple of months back, and you said you were going to kill everybody, and you had your knives, and you had your swords, and you had all that kind of stuff. That's the problem. Now, look, I get it. I understand, right? There's always going to be the exception to the rule, and you're going to get someone that gets in under the wire. But again, I look back at the family, and I say, and look, I get it. I took a call yesterday. It was a very nice woman who's called the show before, who was talking about the bad choices that her son made. Involved in an act of violence, ended up going to prison. But here's the thing, though, that you got to understand, okay? When you're somebody's parent, you know them probably better than anybody else, unless you went out for a pack of cigarettes one day and just never came back, and they were raised totally separate and apart from you. I'm talking about, you know, the by and large sort of average kind of picture that many people paint of mom and dad, or even if they're divorced, dad or mom are still in the life of the kid, know what's going on, hear what's going on, read the report cards, get the notes from the school, all that sort of stuff. We know the school attempted to render aid to this kid in some way, this mutant. And for whatever reason, they pulled him out of the school, decided they were going to homeschool him, whatever. And I'm, please, don't hit me up on my messaging apps and say, you're blaming homeschooling. That's stupid. I'm not blaming homeschooling. I'm simply talking about a detail of which that was part of the story, that they offered him aid at the middle school. They said no, and they took the kid out, and they homeschooled him. Okay, that's the reporting that I've seen. So I'm not going to make this about home. I'm not making this about anything but the mutant. The mutant is to blame. My point is, how's the mutant able to keep his act together? Charles Manson put the swastika on his forehead. That's a statement. This guy's got a tattoo of what looks like a scar, or is that 1, 2, 3, 4 and a line like victim lining? I don't know. He's got the Awake the Rapper tat. He's got all this other stuff on there. He's telling me who he is. He's telling me that he's probably not going to go seek an internship over at Goldman Sachs or a big bank someplace. That's just a sense. This is a person that's going to go on a completely different path. And if that's your kid and the kid is kind of going tilt sideways, the parents would know it. It's not like he had a freak out when he was 10 and was a model citizen all the way through the rest, and everything is really cool. The cops came to the house to collect the swords and the knives because he was threatening the family. They chose not to press charges, which, you know, who am I to judge? I'm not in that house. So the point of all this is, he goes to a gun store multiple occasions. Is he able to, like, is he a diabolical genius who's able to not look like a freak? Because I look at the picture and I'm like, freak right there. That's a freak. Freako, you're not getting a gun. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm just making a judgment as a taxpaying U.S. citizen who doesn't want to get shot by this mutant. Does he keep it together for the duration of the purchase? And by the way, while we're at it, and I'm going to go back to this because I don't give a rip if you don't like it. Where's he getting all this dough for the gun? Like, I'm a full-grown man who gets paid a good salary. We have means, but I can't go out there and buy like 6 guns. Like, if I went and bought 6 guns, 5 guns, 2 AR-15s, whatever, like the Uvalde scumbag and this guy, like, my wife is going to say, you know, you're spending a lot of money on guns. Like, we have other stuff we got to pay for. Where's this guy getting his money? Where did Uvalde get his money? I know he worked at the Wendy's part-time. Nonsense! He had 2 freaking high-powered rifles that he just got. Who's looking at these people? Look at the guy. Look at the one from Uvalde. What gun store looked at that guy and said, this is a good guy. I want him out there slinging rounds. See? when nothing is abnormal, you don't know the danger in front of you. When you define everything as normal, well, that's just how he is. He's just kind of an odd guy. He's just kind of, well, then I don't have to sell you a gun, do I? Go buy wrist rockets. Go get a pellet gun. 27 pumps. This is insanity. I don't understand this. And I'm a smart person. And I know you're smart people. And I'm just wondering, like, where this comes from. It's bugging me. Is it bugging you? I'm Brett Winterble. It is the Brett Winterble Show. 704-570-1110 is the phone number to weigh in, to check in, to be a part of the conversation. Now, let's head on over to Boomer Von Kennen with a look at the road. News Talk 1110-993 WBT, Brett Winterble Show. Great to be here with you. It's going to grab some calls here. Let's start off with JR. JR, welcome to the program.
Hey, you're hitting on all cylinders today, Brett.
Thank you, JR. Appreciate that.
Hey, you hit on like three topics in a row, I think. I got interrupted a little bit. But the first one was like the crazy guy driving around in Charlotte.
Yes. I opened the first hour with that. Yes.
Just give an example. You know, we need law and order. Why can't everybody agree? We have law and order. We follow the law.
Yes.
Or you pay the price. That's
yes.
it.
Yes.
Done. Okay?
That's it. That's right.
The second point was, I think in the past you had said, you can judge things by normal or wacky.
Yes.
It's the same thing. You can judge this. You're supposed to judge this. It's like normal and wacky. And just use, like the legal concept of a reasonable man. What would a reasonable man say?
Mm-hmm.
If I see a swastika tattooed on your forehead.
Right.
It's like something weird.
That's correct.
And the red flag laws, I think, are a total violation. I mean, I agree with the concept. I don't know how to implement this to protect people other than enforcing the laws to get law and order. But you're innocent until proven guilty. That's our constitutional right.
Well, that's exactly right. That's 100% correct, okay? And if you pass a law and it is infringing on your rights, especially your Second Amendment rights, then it's going to go to the Supreme Court. It's going to be struck down. Or if the people running the Supreme Court are a bunch of socialists who want you to have no individual rights, which is an entire possibility based on some of the ideological leanings of people that are looking to pack the court, well, then that's going to be a problem. But we have courts to fight this stuff out over. As a wise person once said to me, a criminal defense attorney who is in the elite ranks of criminal defense attorneys. In fact, I'm going to tell you who it was, okay? It was Ron Kuby. Ron Kuby, who was William Kunstler's law partner in New York.
Yeah.
Ron Kuby defended, at one point, I think he defended, the blind sheikh. With the original World Trade Center bombing. And do you know what Ron Kuby told me? We were talking, and he said there are two things that are 100% true. Number one, Jesus lives on the courthouse steps. And I said, well, what does that mean? And he said, because people pick up Jesus as they walk into the court, talk about how much they have a relationship with Jesus, and then when they get acquitted, they come walking down those same court steps and leave Jesus right there. Okay? That was the first thing he told me. You know what the second thing he told me was? You are never, ever to fight a cop. You know why? Because the cop will always win. And the reason for having a lawyer is to have him fight the cop for you in court. And that's what you do. Okay? That's and this is a guy who defended John Gotti Jr. after he tried to kill Curtis. I mean, this is a guy who knows his business as a defense attorney. And so you go to court. They say you can't have a gun because you're on a red flag list. Well, then we're going to go ahead and file a lawsuit and find out what put me on the red flag list.
Right. And, it's part of this is just the overbearing government. They want to control everything, and yet they don't know how to do it. They want to stimulate lower gas prices. They don't
can't
know
do, it.
Do it.
There's no way to do it. There's no way to.
We need, I think we've had this conversation before, convention of states.
Amen. Way to go, JR. We need a convention of states. Guy's right on. Tommy, welcome to the show. How are you, Tommy?
Yeah, I'm good, Brett. Just want to say, I loved the play-by-play earlier today, so good job there.
Thank you.
The caller at the end of the hour there talked about he was red flagged going into the gun shop.
Yes, sir.
Not the way it works.
Okay.
they don't do that. You have to apply with the sheriff's department, mm-hmm. get your background check, and then they will let you know if you get your permits or not to go buy a handgun. Yeah. So,
well, that's why I told him. I said, if you've been blocked, if you've been stopped, you got to go get a lawyer. I think we kind of understood where this guy was coming from.
Exactly. Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, that's just it in North Carolina. And, mm-hmm. I mean, I'm one of those people that was able to buy a handgun in California. So
yep.
that I am that law-abiding citizen. So, but here, in some counties, you can actually go and apply.
Right.
And if you pass your background check, they'll give you 3 permits. You can go buy 3 handguns.
Well, see, look, that's good information. Okay, this is good. Again, I'm gonna say to anybody that wants to call about the red flag law, if you've got questions, you got issues, I'm not a lawyer. You should call a lawyer. You can pay them like $100 or $5,000, whatever they're going to charge you, and say, tell me about the red flag laws. Am I in jeopardy of being red flagged? What is that going to – I'm not – I mean, I can give you answers. In fact, you know what I'm going to do? I'm changing this up. I'm going to give you answers. I'm going to make them up. And then you can just kind of find out if it works for you or not. And that's what I'll just do. So if you want to ask me about, well, what if I fell off a ladder and cursed at my neighbor, am I on the red flag list? Yes, you are. Actually, cursing is one of the magic things that causes you to go on the red flag list. Oh, no, I'm sorry. That was detention list in high school. Yeah, you don't want to curse. Yeah, you don't want to curse at people because you get bounced. That's a problem. I'm going to take Ryan. Hello, Ryan. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you for taking the call, Brett.
Yes, sir.
So I wanted to make one point about just the responsibility of the parents. Mm-hmm. For whatever reason, this kid's father signed off on it after an incident just a few months before.
Yeah.
It's outrageous.
Insane.
If we remember back to Sandy Hook,
yep.
The exact same thing happened. The mother bought that kid guns, or she owned them.
She bought him one.
He had access to
she bought him one and took him shooting.
And knew he had mental issues.
Of course.
So until, I mean, these laws are ridiculous. The onus should be on the state. If someone claims that someone should not have a gun,
yep.
they shouldn't be automatic taking of the weapon. They should have to prove it somehow.
Agreed. Agreed.
Whether that be through a police report,
yep.
and going in front of a judge, yep. and actually having evidence beforehand, yep. not word of mouth from somebody. Mm-hmm. It's got to have... you have to do your due diligence and there be probable cause for it. You can't just have people calling in and making false claims.
That's exactly right. Because that's what's going to happen. Hey, look, we have problems. Think about it this way. We have issues with swatting. And I don't mean the weird stuff that goes on Saturday night at somebody's house. I'm talking about people living in their homes and people are able to mess with the phone system and say that they're in a standoff situation and the SWAT team rolls on these people's houses and they end up almost getting killed. Some people have been killed as a result. I mean,
I've heard of that.
We can't even, you can't manage that. Then you can't just say good word of mouth that it's going to be a red flag thing. I'm with you 100%. We'll continue the conversation straight ahead. News Talk 1110 99.3 WBT. Anna Erickson's got the update. News Talk 1110 99.3 WBT, Brett Winterbull Show. We have so many people that want to weigh in on this. There's so much stuff going on. Did you see the story out of CNN? I'm going to go back to the phones, please. I promise. Don't go anywhere. I will take your call. There is a story coming out of CNN by Edward Isaac Dover. Biden is a mess. CNN has uncovered the mess that this administration is. And I know you knew that already, but hold on. This is inside the White House reporting. In fact, Kate Bedingfield has just left the building as it relates to being the communications director. Multiple Democratic politicians who have reached out to work with Biden, whether it's on specific bills, brainstorming, or outreach, often don't hear anything back from the White House at all. Potential appointees are languishing for months, waiting to hear if they get the job, or they'll be done with vetting. Invitations to events are scarce. Thank you calls barely happen. Even some aides with the White House wonder why Biden didn't fire anyone from the West Wing or the Food and Drug Administration to demonstrate accountability for the baby formula debacle. Inside the White House, aides are exhausted from feeling forever on red alert, batting at a swarm of crises that keeps growing, enough for the White House press secretary, Karine Jean-Pierre, to make an offhand joke about the constant 11th hour decision-making in the building when under fire at the daily press briefings. Several officials say Biden's tendency to berate advisors. Remember when he told you if anybody was yelling at anybody in the White House, they would be fired? Well, he's the guy doing all the yelling in the White House. His tendency to berate advisors when he's displeased with how a situation is being handled or when events go poorly has trickled down the ranks in the West Wing. Several mid-level aides are feeling blamed for failings despite lacking any real ability to influence the building's decision-making. That's contributed to some of the recent staff departures. Democrats worry the lack of decisions and authority are deepening their own midterm problems, feeding a sense that the president couldn't truly handle the extra complications of a run for re-election in 2024. The president who campaigned on putting America back together again after 4 years of deep divisions appears to have stopped trying. There's no fight, a Democratic member told CNN. People understand that a lot of this is out of his hands. But what you want to see is the president out there swinging, throwing spaghetti at the wall. Year and a half in. Wait a minute. Didn't we just get told last week that Donald Trump threw a plate and had ketchup on the wall? Now they want Biden to do it, but they said Donald Trump was Hitler for doing that. What is going on here? A year and a half in, the Biden administration is struggling to untangle supply chains, tackle soaring inflation, which is by far the biggest problem facing Democrats up and down the ballot in November. It's got to look like you're taking actions, said Ro Khanna, a California Democrat. Any economist who says the president shouldn't do anything on the economy should be fired. President Joe Biden is in the midst of a mess. White House aides say that, well, it's a mess. In the past few months, the administration has announced a historic release of oil from the nation's Strategic Petroleum Reserve, invoked the DPA to address baby formula shortages, even floated a temporary suspension of the federal gas tax. But none of these moves have solved the problems. The baby formula shortage persists. Inflation remains high. Gas is still hovering around $5 a gallon. Biden's support of a gas tax holiday was the subject of months of deliberation among officials, many of whom were against it and privately suggested it's purely political step to show initiative on gas prices, and only recently put the question in front of Biden directly. Sources say that decisions in the White House are bottlenecked as veteran advisors urge Biden to take the long view rather than focus on fast responses. Fewer trying and even fewer succeeding in pushing back against Biden's infamous inability to settle on a decision on everything from lifting Chinese tariffs or canceling student loan debt. Biden's been mulling what to do on student loans for more than a year. White House staff drafted a memo on the topic weeks ago. Taking time on major decisions isn't a bad thing, White House aides argue, and neither is taking seriously, for example, independent agencies like the FDA and the Center for Disease Control and Prevention. They're supposed to function without the president's direct interference, something Biden allies say is a key differentiation from the last president. Throughout, the president's defenders argue Biden is the one who's taking action, even if much of the action is out of view. They hold up the gun legislation passed by Congress as a perfect example of how his approach works, even if it's not always in the spotlight. White House aides are checking in daily, trying to figure out what's going to happen. This, ladies and gentlemen, for this to come out to CNN, this is a disaster. And the fact is, not one of them mentions the wide open border, the fentanyl, the supply chain messes. And when I tell you what this administration has planned next, you're not going to believe it. The U.S. government and the G7 are discussing capping Russian oil prices at $40 to $60 a barrel. a move which could send oil soaring up to $380 a barrel. It's at $118 right now. These people don't know what they're doing. They're literally and figuratively, but mostly literally, taking forks from the kitchen and sticking them in light sockets and saying, I wonder what happens when we do this. I'll detail for you this oil cap. This is a disaster. Who's coming up with this? I'm frightened. For real. Take that fork out of the socket. 704-570-1110, News Talk 1110-993-WVT. Stop.
Don't do that.
Stop licking the Christmas lights. They're plugged in.
Or as they say around some neighborhoods around here, hey, watch this.
Hey, watch this. Is that prefaced by Hold My Beer?
Right there with it, man.
Boomer, what do we got on that roadway out there? News Talk 1110 and 993 WBT. It is the Brett Winterbull Show. Let me grab this call from Mike. Hey, Mike, welcome to the program. How are you?
Hey, good. How are you?
Good, thanks.
Hey, I agree with you on the, like the kid, well, all these shooters. If you look at them, I mean, who would in their right mind would allow them to have a gun?
See, I don't know.
Especially
I, I'm with you. I'm with you.
I mean, you kind of find, you say something to the gun store owner, says that, hey, this guy's a freak, like you said. But then again, the way everything now is with our culture, you can't judge anybody.
Well, I don't even think, like, if you come in and you're, like, in a weird getup, okay, weird for me, like, let's say, okay, I'm not going to.
I know what you mean.
But if the guy is, I mean, when you see him, I can't imagine that he's totally dialed in, unless he's got, like, some weird ability to come off as completely serious and focused and right on. I mean, this is a person. This is a damaged human being in a profound way. And
every one of them, when I saw their pictures, that's the first thing I said. I said, you can look into their eyes and you almost say, they have no soul.
I have a theory about this. And there's a great book by Professor Hoff Summers, okay, Christine Hoff Summers. And she wrote a book back in 2000 called The War on Boys, The War Against Boys. And she was warning back then, look, the way you're medicating these kids, you're drugging them up so that they'll just sit there catatonically in a classroom. Everybody's got ADHD. Everybody's hyper. Everybody needs drugs. Everybody's depressed. Give them drugs. And she was basically saying the culture as it is already went to war with masculinity and males. This is back in 2000. This is the late 90s, okay? And she said there's going to be a reckoning. And man, we are getting it since 2012. I mean, you can go back to Columbine, but she wrote the book after Columbine. You go back since 2012, man, we have been getting blasted.
Yeah, and one other point.
Yep.
It's just like with these kids, like you say, a friend of mine at work, we were talking. It seems like every one of these kids at the age 18, 19, 20, you know, right there, all of them went through the lockdown with the COVID.
That's correct.
Locked out of society, locked out of school.
That's right.
Locked up at home.
That's right.
And with the political scene and the media, you know, just the hatred that was there, and they had the internet, and that's where they found all this evil and read into, you know, got hooked on this radical stuff, and now they're, like you said, we're seeing the consequences.
Yeah, because it's not, look, the thing that I think the thing that's important to note is, I don't know what this guy's politics were. I don't care. He's got bigger issues than his politics. His issues are...
His politics are evil.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go. Exactly right. Exactly. Mike, I appreciate you being out there, man. Thank you so much for checking.
One more thing.
Yeah, please.
Hey,
go ahead. Yeah.
Also, where are they getting the money to buy these? I agree 100% on that.
That's me too, man. Okay, if you decided tomorrow, I'm just going to go buy an AR-15. It's probably going to take you some putting money together, maybe having a conversation with your wife or your loved ones to make sure that, like, you're not going to be draining the bank account to go buy an AR-15. This guy,
they're not buying. These aren't cheap ones that they're buying.
They're not. They're not.
They're not the economy ones that I've, you know, that I'm looking at.
Sure, right. No, and the one in Uvalde had like two of them. You know,
right.
It's I don't know. See, I have a suspicion about the Uvalde guy. Okay, that's down by the border. That's cartel country. Maybe he was involved in some illicit activities that got him that cash. This one, I don't know what the deal is with this one. I have suspicions about the ways maybe he went about procuring money. But I don't.
It all goes back to, like you say, the home.
Yeah,
where's the parents, the fathers? Cool.
That's right.
Nobody's involved with them.
Exactly.
Hey,
right.
I appreciate you, brother. You keep up the good work.
Thanks,
have
Mike.
A good evening.
Stay safe out there, man. That's Mike. It's like I go back to the lockdowns. I go back to those lockdowns that we all endured. And if you're already a fragile being, and then you're in the lockdown, you're just going to retreat into yourself more. I mean, do you remember me telling the story that I had friends that lived in a community and the school was closed? It was lockdowns. This is actually back in California. And so you had the schools were locked down. So what they did was there were like six houses. There were like six houses that were all, it was like three on one block and then three on the adjacent block behind them. And the parents all said, okay, these kids have got to get educated, including PE. And they said, here's what we have to do. Every one of us is going to take a class to teach these kids. We're going to give, I've got history, you've got English, you've got science, you've got art, whatever it is, okay? And so each of those parents took responsibility and they would send the kids to the parents' yard and be like, you're going to go do history now or social studies, you're going to go do English, you're going to go do biology, you're going to go do whatever it was. And the sixth guy wanted to do PE. He was committed. He's like, I'm going to do PE for these kids. They have got to get exercise. They can't sit on computers all day long. Well, the guy that was doing PE was a Marine drill instructor who made time out of his day to bring those kids over and was making them do calisthenics and push-ups and sit-ups and all that kind of stuff. The point is, everybody just kind of shut stuff down. Like, think about the damage that was done as a result of COVID, okay? Think about the outrage and anger that you've seen manifested after Uvalde and after Buffalo and after Highland Park. All of it justified. All of it, the anger, the rage, the fury of the American people watching a racist gunning people down in Buffalo. Unarmed people who were doing nothing but living their lives. Normal, everyday, regular people who were killed because they were black. You look at what went on in Uvalde. This one was a demon, and he went in there and he murdered all those children and those teachers. And then you look at what happened at Highland Park. Now, you think about the anger you see there as a result of those things, those tragic, forget it, it's not just a tragedy, it's a terrorist attack on all three counts, right? And then think about what China did to our kids. And look at the lack of anger and seriousness in Washington, D.C. They're madder at the J6 thing than they are about China killing a million Americans. Killing a million Americans who died as a result of COVID-19. We should see 50,000 times the rage that we see in our streets as a result of what China did to us. And now we have a president that's going to give them a break and take them off the tariff list. This is not right, folks. This is not right. Coming up, I'm going to tell you what's going on with the oil price. You're not going to believe it. You got to hear it. 704-570-1110. Newstalk 1110 993 WBT. Take that fork out of the socket. News Talk 1110 993 WBT. It is the Brett Winterville Show. Hour number three underway. Bo Thompson joins us after the 20 past the, well, in the 20 past the hour segment is what I should call it. segment number two of this hour, but I want to pay off what I was talking about. U.S. and G7 are discussing capping Russian oil prices at $40 to $60, a move which could send oil soaring up to $380 a barrel. This is something that's been floated out there, an oil cap pricing idea. But one that it continues to bubble back up. They were going to do it, then they weren't going to do it, then they're going to do it, now they're not going to do it, but they may do it. Okay, so it's going back and forth. The G7 would refuse to provide insurance to any vessel that carries Russian oil unless the cargo is sold with an agreed price cap. Yet it won't work. It'll push oil prices higher. Russia will never agree. China and India will never agree either. Russia and China may offer their own underwriting services, which would force the West into physically blocking cargoes and confronting China and Russian oil carrying ships that is stopped in the U.S. That's according to the Wall Street Journal last week. And here's the thing about this story that's so important, okay? You have an administration in absolute freefall and chaos, and you have an administration right now, who can open up the flow of energy from under their feet, from under our feet, and have this country functioning and exporting energy to the rest of the world, and we continue to see a group of people who refuse to do it. It doesn't make any sense to me. It just doesn't make a bit of sense. The Wall Street Journal is reporting that red states are trouncing blue states in the post-pandemic economy. Republican-leaning states have added 341,000 jobs since February of 2020. Democrat-led states have lost 1.3 million jobs as of May. Texas, Florida, and North Carolina saw a larger number of Americans migrate to them, while New York, California, and Illinois all saw the most residents fleeing, according to the Wall Street Journal. Analysts reportedly said people fled to red states because of cheaper housing, lower taxes, and more ideal living conditions. So do you see how basic these issues are? Cheaper housing, lower taxes. Ideal living conditions means schools that function and taking crime seriously. That's what that means. The 10 states with the most new residents had an average maximum income tax rate of 3.8% on individuals. Four states, Florida, Texas, Tennessee, Nevada, no income tax at all. Meanwhile, the top 10 states saw the most residents flee, had an average tax rate of 8%. That's your state income tax rate. And that's not even counting property taxes. Individuals who fled to blue states, who would go to a blue state? Why are you going to a blue state? Individuals who fled to blue states tended to head towards states with the least amount of pandemic restrictions. The data may come as no surprise to some, as a recent April study found that Democratic states performed poorly on every measure of handling the pandemic in contrast to red states. This is absolutely not a surprise to me. It's not a surprise to you, but to the press, it's a surprise. Last night, ABC News Nightline interviewed somebody that you may be surprised to hear from. This is going to be cut number 17. John Hinckley Jr. We talked about him and we played some of his music a few weeks ago because he was giving a concert in Brooklyn, New York. John Hinckley Jr. says there are too many guns in America. Talking to Nightline last night, the now totally freed man, John Hinckley Jr., the man responsible for the murder of James Brady, and of course the attempted murder of the President of the United States, Ronald Wilson Reagan, John Hinckley Jr. was asked about guns in America. Go.
I certainly don't think the mentally ill should have access to guns. I mean, that's kind of obvious. Background checks are good and waiting periods are good. I think there's too many guns in America.
And coming from you, that's quite a statement.
Well, I hope it is. Because that's the way I feel.
There's too many guns in America. The man inspired by Travis Bickle in Taxi Driver. The man who was in love with Jodie Foster. The man who decided that he was in such a dark place in his life and went and purchased a gun with a fake ID in Texas and then went on to attempt to murder the president of the United States. This guy is now totally free, and he's come to the conclusion there's too many guns in America. See, nobody ever talks about too many dangerous people in America. There's too many dangerous people in America. There's too many people walking freely who should not be walking freely. And if, of course, you decide that you disagree with that, well, you know, screaming Howard Dean, cut number 16, he says Ron DeSantis, he's just a fascist like Trump, cut 16.
We won in Georgia, particularly in the Senate, because of Donald Trump, because there were a number of Republican women, moderate Republican women in the suburbs who couldn't stomach voting for this crook and this disgusting person. And they just couldn't. And that's happening all over the country every day, the more of stuff that comes out. So I'm actually hoping that Trump does run. I think Trump's calculation is mixed up with his illness, which is narcissism, acute narcissism. And it's also mixed up with a political calculation that he's not very good at. I mean, that, you know, there are a lot of younger people in that party that are much scarier. DeSantis, for one, who just requires, just today announced he was going to require all students yes. in Florida's colleges to declare their political views. I mean, this guy is a fascist. Trump right. is too narcissistic and ill to be a successful fascist, even though he has all those instincts. And I think he'll be easier to beat than any of the other potential candidates.
Ron DeSantis is a fascist. The guy who kept Florida open when everybody was locking him down. Yeah, okay. 704
Mint Hill.
And a hearty happy birthday to Huey Lewis. Does that include the news? I don't know. I got to talk to Bo Thompson. Breaking Bo Thompson. No, I see you're breaking. That's breaking Brett Jensen. You are Bo Thompson. We cross the streams every day at this time. AM, PM, PM, and AM. Be sure to listen to Good Morning BT with Bo and Beth every morning. Bo Thompson, good to have you back. By the way, outstanding coverage of the of Sky Show.
Hey, you know, somebody's got to do it. It's a tough assignment, but I'm always happy to be there to sit out at a baseball game and do a radio show at the same time. It's one of my favorite days of the year, as I've told you many times.
It was outstanding. It was phenomenal. It was great, and it is good to be catching back up with you right now. So let me start with the big news from the world of sports right here in Carolina, and that would be Baker Mayfield to the Panthers. What's going on here, Bo Thompson?
So when I got the news today, I tweeted out just a short message because I know all of Charlotte's were waiting to hear what I had to say about this.
But, of course.
But just in case you're wondering, my gut on it is, you know, So maybe we win a few more games, maybe we lose a few more games. I don't know, but I know the Panthers are going to be interesting. and for where we are right now with this team, I feel like that's a, sort of a win for them to be. Because going into another season of Sam Darnold,
right.
kind of an extension of last year, was not that exciting a prospect to me, and I know a lot of people in the area. So, I mean, look, the glass half empty is that Baker Mayfield needs a change of scenery, and this hopefully will be his this will provide that for him, and we'll see him at the top of his game, and the Panthers will win more games. But you know, there's also the glass half empty that would say that this guy is not ever going to get back to where he was, and the Panthers are not any better. But they didn't risk a lot for this,
right?
And like I said, the guy plays with a chip on his shoulder.
Ah, that's
to me,
it.
to me, Sam Darnold is it's like watching paint dry.
Well, okay, and I'm glad you say that. Okay, I'm glad you say that because I believe in the case of Baker Mayfield, he's going to have an enormous chip on his shoulder. He's going to feel like he's been dissed and dismissed, and you're going to have a very strong motivation, especially to have a strong outing against Thomas Edward Brady right there at the Bucs. And so I think when you look at what you've got potentially in terms of upside, I think you do have toughness in Baker. I don't think he's a wimpy guy. I think he's a guy who's got a lot that he wants to prove. And he could end up being a spark plug here, man. I mean, it's you never know.
And if my memory serves me correct, the Panthers opened up the season last year against the Jets.
Yep.
Or was it?
No, it was.
With the first year we had Sam Darnold. We opened up against the Jets.
Yes.
And then this year we opened up against the Cleveland Browns.
See, look at this. This is it.
You know, the NFL schedule makers, maybe they knew something ahead of time.
But. Of course, right? That's exactly what it is. 100%. 100% of the time.
But I like it. I am instantly more interested in the Panthers. And, I mean, I'm always going to be watching the NFL and a football fan around here. But I have to say, if things were going to stay the way they were, I know we drafted this Corral kid who had some upside.
Right.
But going back to the well with Sam Darnold, just not a whole lot of buzz there. And now all of a sudden, I think they're definitely must-see TV. You don't know which way it's going to go, but it's at least out of the gate, it's interesting. I do wonder if this ends once and for all the Cam Newton era in Carolina. I haven't heard a whole lot of talk about that, but, you know, they sort of were flirting with the idea of bringing him back in. But now I would assume this will shut the door on that.
I think that they probably are moving to greener pastures at this stage of the game, especially bringing somebody like Baker in, because I think if you had Cam still sort of hanging around, it might bug Baker Mayfield. You know,
but the initial chatter that I'm also hearing, I don't know what you're hearing. I mean, this is all brand new, but
yes.
It sounds like they're not bringing in Baker Mayfield to be the starter. They're bringing in Baker Mayfield to compete. Now, I wonder if that means is he to compete for the starting job with Corral, or is this a three-way competition? Where does Sam Darnold fall in this mix? They have three quarterbacks now, and it'd be interesting to see how this is going to shake out. But like I said, bottom line, I'm interested to see how it shakes.
Well, if you're Matt, I mean, if you're
I was,
yeah,
you know,
if you're Matt Rhule though, if you're Matt Rhule though, Bo, you kind of got to swing for the fences a little bit here, and take the best. You know, your best property on the chart there, and put him out. I mean, that's.
Oh, I agree. I wholeheartedly. I say he's the starter week one, but I don't. Yeah. I have a feeling that they're going to have a pretty spirited. I say spirited preseason, but the preseason is not nearly as long as it used to be. So
yeah, that's true. All right, let's talk about naked, awful, ugly politics. And the J6 committee has subpoenaed Rudy Giuliani and Lindsey Graham, Senator Lindsey Graham from the state of South Carolina. What is going to happen here? I mean, I know Senator Graham has basically told him to go. I'm sorry, let me restate this. Georgia wants to subpoena these people, not the 1-6 committee. But you've got a situation where Lindsey Graham is telling them to go stick it. What's your shakeout on this?
Well, I mean, based on the comments I'm reading from Lindsey Graham, he says he's going to fight it all the way, so as to not have to appear. But then I've also saw some of the chatter this afternoon. Should witnesses choose to challenge an order that they testify before the special purpose grand jury, the DA will respond in the appropriate court to compel their appearance. So.
Mm.
We'll see. I mean, it should be interesting. Now, you mentioned the J6. What I did see today, I believe this is correct, is that Cipollo is now close to agreeing to provide written testimony.
Yes. Yes.
And I'm turning the question back on you, but when it comes to written testimony, how exactly does that work with what questions gets asked or how the answers have to be a certain? I was seeing this today, and they have to be a certain length, or do the questions have to be vetted, or how does that work?
Yeah, like I'm sure Bill Graham would from what my understanding of this is this is like interrogatories. Okay, so you ask questions. You can either testify in front of the committee with the hot lights, or you can answer the questions in writing. And they're offering him the opportunity, or he's asking for the opportunity to do them in writing. They can ask him anything they want. He can write whatever he wants. I believe he could also assert a Fifth Amendment privilege on some of the questions if he doesn't want to answer them, because could self-incriminate, something like that. But no, you can write as much as you want to write in terms of your answers. Just like you can give as long of an answer as you want when they ask you a question. So I think this is going to be a very interesting thing to see. My guess is he doesn't want to go into primetime TV in front of the committee that way. And so what he's kind of doing is giving him a half a loaf and saying, okay, I'll write answers on the questions.
This is my creative way of turning this into a tease for my show tomorrow, because at 9:35 we will be talking to, as we do once a week, Bill Grant.
Look at this!
We can both get clarity on that.
I didn't even know this. This is so phenomenal.
Yeah, there's a method to my madness.
It's good stuff. Yes, it's good stuff. And what else will we be having on the program tomorrow, Bo Thompson?
Well, again, tying into your whole overarching theme about the Panthers, of course, we're going to be getting reaction from WBT Sports Director and member of the Panther broadcast team, Jim Zocchi. And then in the 8 o'clock, Eugene Robinson is going to join us in studio. It's always a great time when Jeannie Robb is with us, and so Zoke and Eugene and Beth and myself will try to get to the bottom of this whole Panthers thing. I'm curious to see what those two guys think about this move, because you know they've been covering this team for years, and again, not boring, so I like that.
Absolutely right. Great stuff. Mandatory listening tomorrow morning starting at 5 a.m. with Bo Thompson. Great to have you here, buddy. I appreciate you being there, and we'll talk tomorrow.
Yes, sir. Have a good night.
News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT. It's the Brett Winterble Show. So let's take a peek at a couple other things that are out there happening. You can tell a lot by looking to the past and looking to history. Okay, there's a piece over at the Mises organization, over at the Ludwig von Mises website, and the title says it all. Yes, they were socialists. How the Nazis Waged War on Private Property. It's by a writer named John Kennedy, not the senator from Louisiana, and certainly not the former president, obviously, but his name is John Kennedy. And he writes, when the average person thinks of the Nazis, what often comes to mind is World War II, the Holocaust, and rousing speeches of hate. However, the National Socialists also had economic and political policies. Many just assume that were either free market or New Deal-style public works projects like the Autobahn. But Nazi policy was not that cut and dried. The Nazis were socialist, and it showed in many of the policies they implemented after coming to power in 1933. First, the Soviets, the Nazis, initiated a war on private property. Not surprisingly, property rights were severely curbed by National Socialism in the name of public welfare. How did the National Socialists combat private property in Germany? Well, the first step came shortly after the Nazis took control, when they abolished private property. Article 153 of the Weimar Constitution guaranteed private property, with expropriation only to occur within the due process of the law. But that article was nullified by a decree in February of 1933. With this, the new National Socialist government had complete control of private property in Germany. While they did not take complete control of the lands like the Bolsheviks did in Russia in 1917, the Nazis issued quotas for industries and farms. Later, they reorganized all industry into corporations run by members of the Nazi Party. Both governments, meaning the Soviet Union and the Nazis, reorganized industry into larger units, ostensibly to increase state control over economic activity. The Nazis reorganized industry into 13 administrative groups with a larger number of subgroups to create a private hierarchy for state control. The state could therefore direct a firm's activities without acquiring direct ownership of the businesses. The Nazis ironically called the reorganization, quote, privatization. Although the owners of these corporations were either removed from board positions or replaced by Nazi party members. These are companies like IG Farben, the Junkers Airplane Factory. IG Farben was a chemical company founded in 1925 by Carl Bosch and Carl Duesenberg, who were both Jewish and had capitalization of about a billion marks by 1926. By 1938, all the company's Jewish workers had been purged and the supervisory board replaced by Nazis. IG Farben was a clear example of the reorganization of Nazis that they undertook for their benefit. After the Nazis took power, they began to aggregate the control. Private businesses became merely public entities, and industrialists who resisted the Nazi commissars and their policies were removed from their positions, and their businesses were then seized. The Junkers Airplane Factory did not fare much better. Professor Junkers of the Junkers Airplane Factory refused to follow the government's bidding in 1934. The Nazis then took over the plant, compensated Junkers for his loss. This was the context in which all other contracts were negotiated. They just took your stuff. The Nazi war on business left industrialists and other businessmen worried that they'd have their livelihood stolen from them. Just grabbed. Just taken. Some businessmen have even started studying Marxist theories so they would have a better understanding of their present economic system. One letter that was written among people who were business owners. Now, when you think about this, and you think about the way the Nazis are described as American history, as part of world history, but I'm talking about American history from the perspective of fighting the Nazis. You get this weird narrative that comes out that says, well, you know, the Nazis are conservatives and the Bolsheviks were on the left. No, they were both on the left. National Socialists and the Bolsheviks are on the exact same spectrum. They did the exact same things, grabbing private property and making it socialist. That's well known. By the way, metal during this period of time was strictly rationed in Germany. Fines were handed out to building contractors who installed metal central heating pipes. Iron lamp posts and railings were replaced with wooden ones. But it was halted when there was a wood shortage, which also led to a paper shortage. All of this that I'm talking about happened in 1937, 2 years before the war even started. Building projects had to cut back on wood, and people were encouraged to burn peat instead of wood. Even coal was rationed. All industries under price controls were in the same situation, such as agriculture, where egg and dairy shortages led to the distribution of ration coupons. What's the takeaway? The Nazi government took control of the economy, which is what one expects from socialism. And that's the first step on the long road to serfdom. 704-570-1110. We are able to do whatever we want to do in this country as long as you get enough votes to support that policy, right? You have that opportunity to make the decision of the direction you want this country to go. And coming up, you're going to have a huge election taking place in November. And I believe it's going to be an election that's going to be hard fought. It's going to be battled among the players who want to try to get control of the direction of the federal government. But the question really that's at hand is this. What sort of a government do you want? A government that can give you everything or a government that can give you everything and then take anything away from you? The respect of private property is foundational. The respect of private property is imperative. And we have to understand what it is we're looking at here, folks. I'm not saying this is happening in the United States. I'm saying take the lesson from what happened in 37 and make sure that we preserve and protect our private property here in this country. By request, 704-570-1110. You know why I put that on? Hey, Stranger Things. That's a huge shout out to the Stranger Things Mafia out there. That's such a great song. Master of Puppets. News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT. All right, let me grab some calls here because people have been wanting to check in on the stuff we've been talking about. Corey is up next. Hey, Corey, how are you?
Hey, Mr. B. Thanks for taking my call.
Good to hear from you.
Full disclosure, Mr. B, not a Democrat nor a Republican.
Mm-hmm.
But two things you said that got me thinking.
Yes, sir.
And the mask mandate bringing the thought process that these people would think that their kids lost social skills behind that.
Mm-hmm.
It's just mind-boggling to me. It's the 21-year-old with the shoot, tongue-in-cheek,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
with the abortion, I asked my friends.
Mm-hmm.
Now that they're able to save unborn people, how can they save the ones that's living?
Okay, and how do you do it?
That would be my question for them. Because mm-hmm. they figured out how to save an unborn.
Well, I think the real challenge here, and in truthfulness, have we saved the unborn? Have the unborn children been saved? Because the states can determine, they can determine abortion all the way up to the moment of birth, right? I mean, if they wanted to. So the question,
that was my question for them.
Yeah. It's a fair question. All right. I appreciate that, man. Thanks so much, Corey. I appreciate you bringing that up. Joe, welcome to the show, Joe.
Well, thank you, sir.
Yes, sir.
Just wanted to comment, you know, a while back I was studying, you know, the Marxists and the takeover of the Soviet Union
mm-hmm.
or the takeover of Russia.
Right.
And also Hitler and the communists in the Weimar Republic of Germany.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized, you know, there was a big effort by the Nazis to drive out the communists.
Right.
And I kept wondering why, because I knew they were both leftists, like mm-hmm. you said.
Right.
And the reason why suddenly occurred to me, you know, both of them amount to dictatorship. The Nazis amount to dictatorship.
That's right.
So did the communists.
Right.
You know, and two dictatorships cannot exist in the same country.
That's right. That's exactly correct.
And so because of that, that's the reason why Hitler, he knew he was imposing a dictatorship. So he knew that's the reason why he had to drive out the communists or at least subdue them.
Well, and so here's the thing, okay? What happens? If you have a command and control economy, right? And
right.
you think okay, you could say the Nazis, you could say the communists. But you could also go back and say ancient Rome. Right.
Yeah,
what does sure. by definition, what do you have to do if you have a command and control economy? You have to go out and take more and more and more territory to satisfy the aims of that. And I'm using the term undemocratic government. To continue to sustain what it is you're trying to do, you have to conquer more real estate, take more real estate, subjugate more people, kill more people. Because you have to constantly get more resources because you're paranoid or you're worried that they're going to come for you.
Well, that and plus the fact is those command and control. If you look at communism talks about everybody has everything equal, which we know that's baloney. The truth of communism is a few people at the top
yes.
and the rest at the bottom.
Correct. Now, what would that be then? So really, when you think about this, Joe, what when you think about the Nazis and you think about the communists, what you're basically talking about is two mafias. They're just operating like criminal organizations that you think about. They don't respect patents. They don't respect property. They don't respect anything. They take what they want and they kill who they want to kill. It's essentially
right.
These are two criminal organizations.
Right. And greed knows no bounds.
That's correct.
No bounds. Agreed.
And as you were studying communism, you probably found out that early on, the way the communists funded much of their efforts was to actually go and do crime. And what do we see from Marxists in America today? The people who want who want nobody to get locked up for any kind of crimes or felonies or anything like that. They are essentially taking Marxist criminology and saying, See, you're oppressed because they're trying to make you follow the rules, like not stealing property, not murdering, not raping, not doing any of that. That's ultimately what it ends up coming down to. The only reason why you get Marxism is because you've convinced enough people to vote for it or to go with the revolution that's then going to make them the greatest victims of all.
Oh, yeah, well, that's true. No doubt about it.
You know, like they say, in tyrannies like that, you get one man, one vote, one time. And that's really essentially what it is. Now, America is not a perfect place, but I don't see people queuing up to break into communist China. I don't see people queuing up to break into Putin's Russia, to break into North Korea or Cuba or Venezuela. I see people coming up to come to the United States. And the one reality that I think people have to understand is we're not perfect. Nobody ever said, Washington didn't say, Lincoln didn't say, Reagan didn't say, Trump, Obama, Biden, no president has said America's a perfect country. And I'll go back to that first call I took from that man, Larry, who was trying to goad me into a fight. And I'll say it again. Give me a place you'd rather be given the opportunity to live. And at a given time, would you want to live in the United States in the 1740s or in the 1830s or in the 1910s? It stinks sometimes to live in the era in which we live, but you have medicine, you have science, you have technology, you have all of these things at your disposal. You can literally start a business on your phone and lay on your bed and make money. And I'm not talking about freaky deaky OnlyFans stuff. I'm talking about like actually selling products. And it's a lot we can talk about. And we're going to talk about even more of it tomorrow. Coming up next, we've got Charlotte at 6. Then we've got Breaking with Brett Jensen. I want to personally thank TJ and Tommy, Boomer and Anna, Bo Thompson, Mark Garrison, and each and every one of you. If you are unsatisfied with the program today, it's free. And it'll be free tomorrow. And you're going to enjoy it. I'm Brett Winterbull. Have a great night. News Talk 1110 993 WBT.
Feel better. The pigs have won tonight. They can all sleep soundly. And everything is all right.
He's a smart and capable and honorable and good young man.